You, Lord, that we can meet, that we get to celebrate your birth. Father, we just thank you for what you have done for us. Father, we thank you that you did come as a baby in order to save us. God, that was your whole purpose for coming, was that you loved us so much that you came to give us a better life and a better way. So, God, we just thank you, and we worship you, and we just want to bring honor and glory to your name today. In your name, amen.
Another one? Oh, there we are. Bless you. Well, thank you. I love worship. I love the Lord. I love to, you know, just sit in his presence, man. There's no better place to be. There's a freedom, right, in Christ. We can feel it. It's so evident when we're worshiping, right? And he wants to train us up so we can walk in that day by day. And when trouble comes up, that we can get in that presence. That's our shelter. We're under his wing, he says. That's when we're under his wing, right? We can get in his presence, and whatever's in front of you, you can just, the wing will wash it away, right? It'll just whoosh it off, and you can walk in strength in all things. That's what he says. I will strengthen you, and you can walk in all adversities, right? You know, I was talking last time I was up here about being prepared, right, for this next year, and I felt like today Jesus was saying to me, you know, Kelly, it's follow me. Follow me. All he said to Matthew at that table was, follow me. And he got up and left it all. Right? He's been telling us as Christians in this day and age, follow me. And we say, yeah, but, oh, but I'm busy. And it's in the Bible, right? He comes up to certain people and he says, follow, you know, what do you want to do? Give it all up and follow me. Oh, well, I can't give up my stuff. One guy says, the other guy says, hey, I got a funeral to go to. Oh, I got this to do. And Jesus keeps walking. He's not going to sit down and wait for you. If he's on mission, right, and he's got lots of stuff going in these end days, that he wants people to follow him, but he doesn't have time to wait for you. So the question is, are you going to get up and follow him? No matter what, right? No matter what's in front of you, you got to just put it down and go, right? And that's the key. And the worship today spoke about this. If you really meditate and worship and let God open your heart and mind to him, that's the beauty of it, because he can speak so clearly, because we're all gathered in his name and his presence here at worship. It's a holy place. This is as close to heaven as we'll get this week. So he can speak to us. We're in his throne room of grace. Enter my courts with praise and thanksgiving, says Psalm 100. There we are. We're in his throne room right now. Right? We've entered. And he speaks to you. The first song says, every heart, prepare him room. That's us preparing our heart for him so there's room for him. Putting our burdens down. The next one, he's the humble king, right? He's a gentle, gracious, humble king. He's not going to come and scorn you, but he wants your attention. He wants you to come to him, right? Then it's the word in flesh was in the next song, and that's what it is. He's the word. So if you're following Jesus, you're following the word of God, right? That's the plan for our life, to follow the word, and it's Jesus is the word. Right? We come sometimes separate that stuff. Then it's love's pure light, right? He's radiant. That's the light of the path in Psalm 119. The word lights my path. Well, it's the radiance of Christ that I'm following. That's the light. It's not a light like a flashlight. It's the radiance of Christ that I'm following him. Right? So he glows and shines. And he shows the way. He came from heaven to earth. Why? To show you the way. So if we're not following him, we don't know the way. As soon as I pick up my plans and try to get them going again, and Christ sits over here, it's done. I'm supposed to be following him. He's supposed to show me the way. And the last bit was, oh, how do we do this, right? How do we follow Christ? It's a challenge. It's got to be by the Spirit of God. So we need that Spirit of God to fall fresh upon us, right? If we don't have the Spirit of God alive in us, we can't follow Christ. Where he's going, nobody will go, right? It's a narrow path. Only few will follow because he's heading straight into the darkness. He's not making a beeline around it. He went right in Samaria and sat with a woman in broad daylight, and that was totally against all things. Went straight in the middle. He doesn't go around the darkness. He doesn't sit over here, and he's going straight in all the time. So if you're going to follow him, you got to get filled with the Holy Ghost, And you got to follow that Spirit. That Spirit's got to lift us. And that's why we need church and worship and gatherings and brothers and sisters and get Bible studies and all the beautiful things, right? Because that empowers us to be able to follow Him into that darkness, but it's by the Spirit. I can't follow Him by the flesh. I'm going this way, right? I'm getting away from that. I want nothing to do with that. I want to avoid the fight. I don't want to go in the darkness, Lord. Help me. I feel weak even talking about it. I want to kneel down and say, forget it. Right? Without the Spirit of God, and that's the fear of God. The fear of God is where He's going. But when you understand, that's what He wants. We're only going to get to do this once, heaven. We aren't going to be able to do any of this. We're going to sit around in His magnificent glory and light, and there is no battle. This is the time to be courageous, brave, and stand, the Bible says, right? So that was what was on my heart during worship. I just, awesome stuff. Announcements. This year there'll be no Christmas Eve service here. So we're just encouraging people to go and get in another body, check out another church. Today I read the Advocate this morning before I came, and there's a full two-page spread in Saturday's Advocate on all the services that are in town, and there's lots of them. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, that sort of thing. So check them out, and you know, and get out and take a friend. Sonny, it was announced today that Sonny's in the hospital, so he's not doing too well. He's having trouble breathing apparently and stuff. He's taking visitors, but you got to gown up and do the whole thing. So if you go over there and you want to visit Sonny, just be prepared that you're going to have to put on the gown and the mask and all that stuff and go in. But they are allowing him visitors. The first week of January, that's January 4th to 8th, the Monday to Friday. We're going to be having prayer meetings here at 7 o'clock, Monday to Friday, just to bring in the new year and prepare our hearts and make room and get in one accord and strengthen up and get ready for this next year and the journey that's going to be with the Lord. It's going to be fabulous, right? It's going to be exciting. There's going to be so many good things happening if we'll just follow Him and stay with Him under His wing. It's going to be scary out there, but we're going to be glowing in that radiant light of the Lord, and we're going to be so many, everybody's going to be coming to us, right, for the answers, because they're going to see it. They're going to go, oh, I need that. What do you got? What do you know? But that's what the first week is, to set ourselves up for that sort of thing. So they're asking to prepare and fast too, right? Ask the Lord what to fast from. You know, if you're one of those people that does a full fast and just drinks water, maybe it's time for one of those. If you want to just give up something to fast for, maybe it's a habit you have. Maybe it's something you're eating or drinking. Maybe it's something else. But just pray the Lord be prepared to hear from Him on a fast there. There's worship practices now every week. There's different teams, as you can see. So just make sure you're checking in with Chad to see who's leading that week and who's involved. And they'll have a practice night. A lot of the times it's Saturdays, but sometimes it changes on whoever's in the worship band. If you're interested in worshiping, there's new faces like Jeff was up there today. Awesome. If you want to get involved, talk to Chad. Samantha's hosting a Bible study at her house in the new year on Thursdays. It's with the Christian Motorcycle Association, but she wants to invite anybody here that wants to go. That'll be Thursday nights, probably 6 o'clock start time, to talk to Samantha about that. Mark Copeland and Don are hosting a Bible study here Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Is that continuing right through? Right, so it'll be the new year. Okay. In the new year now. So Thursday nights at 7, they've been doing this for a bit, but we just want to remind you that. Starting next Tuesday at the Hope Mission Center, we're going to be starting a Bible study on Tuesday at 5:30, coinciding with the end of the meal. So we're going to be inviting people from the dinner in for a Bible study. So if you're there and you want to come in, and if you're at that and you want to come over to the Hope Mission Center when you're done your shift, I figured if we open about 5:30 and sing some songs and get ready and start at 6, we won't lose a bunch of the people that are leaving the meal. Hopefully we'll get some bodies in there to come and hear the word or pray. We'll kind of figure out what they want to do. We're open to ideas. We've got video series, different things. We can just open the Bible and study a book, whatever. But yeah, Tuesday at 5:30, that's starting next Tuesday. And I think that's it for announcements. Cheryl wanted to come up here again and share about her prophetic schooling that she's going to be hosting in the new year as well. Elsie's in the hospital? Okay, Elsie's also in the hospital, so if you want to visit her, she'll be taking visitors too. I believe the prayer meeting's on tonight. Yeah, prayer meeting's on tonight at 6 o'clock. Cheryl.
Our condolences to you, Mark. Mark's mother just passed away. When? Today or yesterday? Yesterday. The Lord. Yeah, she's with the Lord. Amen. It's not easy to lose a mother close to Christmas. I lost my mother Christmas Day 2 years ago. Ted lost his mother on December the 16th. So, not an easy time. But we know they're all in glory. Amen. That's the most important thing. The prophetic ministry. Now, this is kind of going to be my last announcement in terms of the prophetic ministry. We're going to start with teaching. There's about 7 people altogether so far that have spoken to me. I want you to come up to me and talk to me individually, because I don't feel in my heart we're going to do an introductory. I'm going to talk to you individually about what we're going to do, and then we're going to order the books. Did you get my email about that? Chad, yeah. I talked to you about it to ask the board. Okay, we'll talk about that later. There's 2 books that have to be purchased, and I've already got the curriculum kit. So we're going to start off with teaching about what prophecy is and how to understand it, how to minister it. This morning, I have a little word for you. This morning, the Lord really impressed on me Ephesians 4 about putting away the sin and picking up the Lord, picking up his spirit, picking him up, putting him on the newness and renewing your mind. We have to. The Lord just said, put it away. And I came into the kitchen. I said to Ted, put it away. Put what away? Put that away. Amen. So when God speaks to me like that, I'm going to share that with you, because I can't keep this good stuff to myself. Amen. God bless you.
Bless you, Cheryl. Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about Ephesians 4 at a Bible study this week about the spiritual gifts, right? And that's what he wants to impart, those gifts and the prophecy, right, that she's teaching us. If you think you got some prophetic gifting, this is a time to get right in there and study it and get into it and approach your gift. Again, the gifts are of the spirit, so they're not of the flesh. So it's going to be that same fight. Oh, it's not for me. I don't want to. Oh, it's going to be too hard. I don't want to have any more dreams. Some of them are freaking me out, right? But you got to step into your gifting. The first part of Ephesians 4 is the one God, one baptism, one faith, one way, one. It's all about unity with the God and the Spirit. And then they talk about the gifts. You get in unity with God and get past the fears and the anxieties and get in unity with him. He's got gifts in each one of us. And we need those for our body. So what Cheryl's doing is important for the body, right? And if you got those gifts, it's time to just step out of the boat, right? There's no other time than now. Like I said, you're not going to be able to do this in heaven. We're not going to be able to save souls in heaven. They're all saved. God needs us with them now, right? So we got a word today from Vicky's going to share today. So would you like to come on up? Step out of that boat and bless you. Yes. I'll give you that.
Yes. Well, Lord, just thank you for Vicky and the gift she's got here. She's stepping out of the boat, just like we're talking about, into her spiritual gift here to share with us, Lord. Thank you for just the strength you put in her. Thank you for the way you've guided her day by day, Lord. Thank you for the walk she's on. Just open our ears and our hearts, Lord. Open her ears and her heart to you, Lord, so she hears from you as she speaks, Lord. Just use her lips, Lord. Thank you for the gift of prophecy. Thank you that we have a church that seeks out the spiritual gifts, Lord. Let this be a blessing to us and a blessing to Vicky. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, hi. If I pass out, somebody come pick me up. Okay. A long time ago, Pastor Stan asked me if I would share my testimony, and I said, no, I wasn't ready. Absolutely not. No way. And over the period of the 2.5 years that I've been coming here, and I know I'm not that regular, but over the period of the 2.5 years, I've been making myself ready, and I've been allowing the Lord to make me ready. And so when when I went to Doug and I said, you know, someday I'll, like Pastor Stan asked me a long time ago, someday I'll be ready. And Doug goes, well, can you do it this week? And and I said, well, okay. So I began to ask the Lord what he wanted me to share. And the picture that he gave me was a picture of a candle, a candle burning bright. And it was weathered, like it had many drips down the side. It was really beautiful, but it was burning bright. And I said, okay, Lord, you want to talk about yourself as the light of the world. And so it's just apropos that it's Christmas, and Jesus is the light of the world. And he said that the people who have dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. And so when you think about light, my dad used to be an RCMP officer, and he was trained, of course, in Regina. And he said that at night, in a distance, you could see a candle burning for 7 miles. One candle in a window burned for 7 miles. So if you can imagine that if we have the light of Christ in us, we are light. We are light. And I don't know if anybody heard me giggling over there, but I was, as we were singing and everything, I saw this picture of a flashlight that was all covered in black mud and darkness and everything. And I saw somebody scratch, and all of a sudden I remembered what happens. You know when you have the light on and then you put a light bulb in and it just totally blinds you? Well, when the light of Christ in you is dark, you think you're dark, well, all somebody has to do is scratch on you. And the light of Jesus starts to show through. Because it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to dump on you, how much crap he throws on you, you are still light in the darkness. And if you think you're a dim bulb, well, you take that one dim bulb and put it out in the field, and how far away can people see it? How far away can people see the light of Jesus in you? I remember hearing Jimmy Baker's testimony, and he said that when he was in jail, he was literally broken. He was a broken man, and he thought that he was totally lost. And I know what that feels like, because when I was, I don't know if any of you know me, actually probably nobody here knows me very well, but I come from a small town in Ontario, and I was in Christian ministry for my whole walk. I got saved when I was 17, and it was a search for light. I was looking for Jesus. I was looking for the light, and I looked everywhere. I looked in Buddhism. I looked in Zen Buddhism. I looked in everything. I was looking for the light. And finally, one day, I was reading this book, and this book said that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the end of the circle. And all of a sudden, I fell on my face and I began to weep and I began to wail and I said, Lord, it's you I've been looking for all this time. I already knew the answer, and I was looking for an answer I already knew. And so in those, from the time I was 17 on upward till I was 40, I served the Lord with great gladness. I loved him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. I just threw myself into loving Jesus and serving him. I taught Sunday school. I did youth group. I went to Bible college. I ran a Christian ministry. I did it all. And when I was 40, it was really odd, because my whole life I couldn't see past 40. I don't know what it was. I turned 40 in the year 2000, and I couldn't see any light past 40. And I don't know why. There was something about 40 that I don't know. God hadn't shown me anything past that, and so I didn't know I was unhappy. And I remember sitting across my desk from the people who would come for ministry and stuff, and thinking to myself, if you knew how screwed up I was inside, you would be sitting on this side of the desk, and I would be the one getting ministry. And I tried going to counseling, but every time I would go to counseling, all hell would break loose at the food bank. And so it was just, it just got worse and worse and worse. And finally, one day, I actually just left. I just left. And I started following a lie. And there's a scripture in the Bible that where Jesus said, if the light in you is light, I'll just read it because I have it right here. You have to be careful which light you follow. Because if you follow the wrong light, it leads to darkness, deep darkness, because the enemy can appear as an angel of light. And so you have to ask yourself which light you're following, and you have to make sure you know that it's the light of Jesus that you're following and not the darkness that's also glowing. And just a second. Yeah. I just want to read this because it's really important. Yeah. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And so I got tricked. I got deceived. I believed a lie. And the more lies you believe, the farther away from the path of Jesus you walk. And I woke up one day in a different city. And it's not that I didn't know where I was. I just all of a sudden I got the revelation of where I was. And all of a sudden I said, Lord Jesus, I said, you haven't struck me dead yet. And if you haven't struck me dead, there must be hope for me. So, Lord, I'm asking you, if you will use me like you used Samson, I will go anywhere. I will do anything. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Just use me to take down the kingdom of the enemy in different places. And every once in a while, I forget. I prayed that. And we do. We forget because Jesus is good to his promise. He's good to his word. He is the light of the world. He is the light of life. And when you pray a prayer, be careful because he will answer it. Sometimes it takes him 20 years to work things out, but he still will answer it. And Red Deer seems to be a place of answered prayer. I once saw Heidi Baker in the Capri, and she got a horse. Somebody gave her a horse, and she forgot that she had prayed for a horse. She was 9 years old when she prayed for a horse, and this person in Alberta loaded up a trailer and hay bales and the horse and everything and drove this horse to the yard of the Capri and presented her with this horse. And I walked out the side of the building, and there was Heidi Baker riding around on this big brown horse. And she was just dumbstruck, in awe, because the Lord had answered a prayer that she had totally forgotten she prayed. So in the midst of all of the workings of who we are, we have to remember that God is working light into our lives. He keeps winding light, and light has heat and it has energy, and people are drawn to that light. And the picture that I always have of the body of Christ, believers, is we're like a Christmas tree out in the field, and people are drawn to our light, and we have to remember to let that light shine. You know that old song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine." And don't you go and it out. Well, you can't, the light inside, it can't go out because that's the light of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit within us. And no matter where we are and no matter what we do, that light is still there because the Lord says, a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. And so what that means is we're like that candle. When the enemy comes to try to snuff us out, the Lord just starts to go. And he just starts to blow on it. And he just starts to blow. And he just starts to blow. And he's so patient to see it go. And the next thing you know, we're burning bright again. But we don't see people's lights. We don't know, but God sees and he knows. And I had a revelation a couple years ago. I was driving down the road and I was praying, and all of a sudden I saw a picture of the Lord drawing me very carefully and very gently. The spirit in me was being drawn by the presence of God, and he was drawing me no matter what I did, no matter how I kicked and screamed and fought, no matter what. The light in me is drawn to the light in him, and we can't help it. When we have the presence of Jesus in us, he's drawn to himself. You know that verse where he says, I am faithful to myself? Well, what he meant was, I'm faithful to myself in you. So if you have accepted his presence in you, if you've said, Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, and I trust that you are the salvation of the earth, I want you to be my Savior. When you say that, you receive the presence of Jesus in you, and he begins to draw you on his path. And he's faithful to himself in you. He's faithful to that light to draw you together. And no matter what the enemy does, no matter what, he is a defeated foe. And it says in the word, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. And we are overcomers in Christ. So let your little light shine. Let it shine. You know, me standing up here is a total miracle. Okay, like I'll tell you, it's a total miracle. Because in days past, I thought there was no way God could ever use me again. Absolutely no way. And for me to have worked in the Miracle Channel, that was a miracle, total miracle. Because I didn't think that there was any way that I could be used by God again. Like when you fall on your face, you think, oh, there's no way. But there is a way. There is a way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world, and if his light is in you, he will draw you, he will pick you up, he will set you back on your feet, and you will go forward. You will go forward. You have to be willing. You have to want to. You have to say, Lord Jesus, help me. I can't get up by myself. I need people around me to lift me up, but he will lift you up. He's not going to leave you. He's a daddy. He's a good daddy. And any kid who falls on their face, you think their dad is going to stand there with his foot on their back and say, you stay there in the mud? A good dad is not going to do that. A good dad is going to bend over, pick you up, clean you off, wipe you off, put clean clothes on you like Jesus does. He puts clean clothes on us, right? The robes of righteousness. And he fills us with strength again, and he says, okay, go forward. I'm watching. Don't trip again, because if you trip again, you're going to hurt yourself again. But I'll be there to catch you. I'll be there to pick you up. And he does it. He catches us. He picks us up. He helps us again. But the older we get in the Lord, the more it hurts when we fall. Right? Because the bones get broken. I knew a guy who went skiing. He hadn't skied in 20 years, and he was about 52. He broke his neck. He hadn't skied in 20 years, and he forgot that he was not young anymore. But you've been skiing all the way along. Yeah, that's okay. But we have to remember that as we get older in Christ, as we get older in Christ and more mature, and as we know Jesus more, we're responsible for more. So the mistakes are more, they have more consequences, right? They have more consequences. The more you know Christ, the more consequences there are if you fall on your face. Jesus still loves us, he still cares about us, but there are more consequences to deal with, right? And so I dealt with a lot of consequences. My kids don't talk to me. You know, what do you do? But we'll see what happens. God is good. And yeah, so basically, I just. The one that that is the greatest light. The thing that was reminded of this morning, the Lord reminded me of the cross. The cross is an instrument of torture. But to us, it's a light shining on the hill, right? Because someone, the biggest and greatest someone, Jesus Christ, was tortured and killed for us to give us freedom. And as we take that freedom, as we walk into that freedom, and as we receive the light of Christ in us, then we can shine for others. And so I just bless you to shine bright. Shine bright. Remember, every time you think of the Christmas star, remember that the first thing that God said was, "Let there be light." And he separated the light from the darkness, right? He separated light from darkness, and he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And he is that light, and he is separate. So when you're sitting inside and you see the light shining out, have you ever seen darkness shine in? Darkness doesn't shine in. Light shines out. Light overtakes darkness. Light overtakes darkness. And the more of us that are gathered together, the brighter the light. So I bless you in Jesus' name to be light in the darkness.
Amen. You know, and Vicky was worried she wouldn't have enough to say for 10 minutes. Like, I mean, come on. So, Lord, thank you for the boldness you gave her this morning, the strength, the light in her shone. Lord, that's what we need. We need you shining in us. Just thank you for her testimony and some of her story, Lord. We come against that darkness that'll come creeping around after today, trying to steal some of the seed from us and from Vicky, Lord, some of the blessing that we got. So we protect that seed right now in Jesus' name. We plant it deep in our hearts and let that brood in that light. Let that seed just take root in our hearts, Lord. And just thank you for the blessing we had this morning from this child of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And just one testimony of Mark, right? He's going through a big trial. But if you look into his eyes today, the window of the soul, like she was testifying about, there's a light coming out of this man, even though he lost his mother, right? That's the light of Jesus. He's walking him through this, and so many blessings came upon this man. If you want to hear some good stories, I just heard a couple in passing of what happened on this trip where he went to visit his mother and the light that came out of her in her last days to bless others, and out of her son to bless others. You know, if you need some encouragement today, this is the man to talk to, man. I can feel it radiating off him right now. It's like I'm going to get a sunburn standing over here. So God bless you, and God shine his face upon you like he has, and don't let any of this Christmas season. God told me when my father died, he said, "I'm going to protect your heart, Kelly, because I got lots of stuff for you to do. I'm going to protect you, and you will not even feel it." I'm telling you, I lost my dad in August, and I had to be reminded by God himself that I was going home for my first Christmas without my dad because he protected my heart. So I pray that same protection upon this man, upon you, Mark. Bless you for all you've been through, Lord. Thank you that the trials count as a joy, that the joy is that his mother's in heaven. Thank you for her faith that's radiating out of Mark today. Give him a double blessing, double portion for this new year of blessing, of joy, and peace, Lord. And just protect his heart this Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alvin, bless you. And look how young, honestly. You know, Alvin didn't want to come up here. Look how young this man's starting to look. Honestly. I've known Alvin for a while. He's never looked better. It's because the light of Jesus is in the heart of prayer. So we just pray that on him today.
Yes.
The heart of prayer in this man and the light that's coming out of him, Lord, it's radiating. We want that light today. Give Alvin boldness to speak what exactly is on his heart from you,
Amen.
Lord. No hindrances. No holding back.
Yes.
We just kick down the walls that the devil tries to build around us right now in the spirit.
Thank
we break
you, Lord.
Down the
Thank
boxes.
You,
Give him full reign here today. This is his podium, his chance
Thank
to
you.
Speak. Lord, God bless the words that come out of his mouth. Lord, just shine through him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey. Amen. Whoa. Well, everything that I was going to say, he said. I'm serious. Like some of the stuff, I'm like, come on. You know, this is what happens when you hang out with a guy, right? And you build unity, right? Hallelujah. And I really believe this is what God wants to do in our lives. You know, build such a unity in our hearts and our lives. So this is what's is happening over at our prayer Tuesdays to Fridays over at the Hope Mission there. We're praying there from 10 o'clock in the morning till probably about noon. All of you are welcome to come, okay? And I tell you, we're building unity. This is what God desires of us, is to build unity. Amen? Amen. Unity. Do we know what unity is? Absolutely, when we walk like this. This is unity. But here's what the enemy comes. He comes and he builds walls between us. Creates a division. Puts a wedge in between myself and Denise. I don't like Alvin. I don't like Denise. No? I don't like that. She prays in tongues. I don't like that. You know? It's not scriptural. So the enemy comes and he puts divisions in between us, between me and Don. Right? Oh, I got to serve God this way. Right? That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. Because you know what happens when we start to build unity? We start to get like this. Prayers. Our prayers become so powerful. But that devil, he's doing everything under the sun to keep us separated in a small body like this. Amen? This is what he does. I'll just share a short testimony. Back when they were founding the nation of Canada, hey Jeff, could you maybe just turn me down just a touch? Anyway, they had all these natives, First Nations, they were gathering and they were putting lots out for them to go for the reserves. And this is how the enemy works in our lives today. So anyway, in Calgary, so all the natives were gathering around Calgary, all the different bands. So they had asked, the government asked them, well, where do you guys want to go? Oh, I want to go over here. Okay. Where do you want to go? Oh, I want to go over here. Okay. Where do you want to go? Oh, I want to go over here. Then they put it all on the map, and they had a map, finally, and they started putting, uh-oh, this ain't going to work, because they're all gathered in Calgary area. So instead of dealing with maybe 2,000 First Nations, they're going to be dealing with 20,000 First Nation people. So it's, hold it. We got to change this. We got to change this. Sorry, guys. You know that place that we were going to give you? Can't happen. We're going to ship you out by Rocky Mountain House. Or we're going to ship you out by Hobima. We're going to ship you up north. And this is what the devil does with us. This is what he does with us. Okay? God wants to bring unity in our hearts and our lives. Amen? Bring us together, you know, for a time such as this. I tell you, and if we burn together, we light ourselves together and be unified. I tell you, look out. Look out. Because you know what God says then? When he sees unity, he commands a blessing. It's not, well, oh God, we need a... No! God commands a blessing. What kind of blessing have we been praying for? For Potters. Amen? We want to see, hallelujah, the glory of God come from this place and shoot out into the streets of Red Deer. Amen? And see these people delivered, set free. You people rising up to the fullness that God has for each of you. God has called you. Has he not? You have not chosen God. You didn't choose him. If you read scripture, you get close to God, God is going to show you. God chose you. God chose you to live at this very time and place. Amen? What's the chance of that? I mean, come on. I played, you know, when I was younger, I was playing sports. I'd always be picked last. Maybe some of you guys can, you know, had that experience. Everybody else gets picked, and you're the last person. Well, and everybody's like, oh, okay. Guess I'll have Elvin. You know, can't throw, can't catch the ball, stuff like this, eh? But here's God that created the whole universe, eh? The world doesn't want you. Ah, you can't fit into this. And here's the God of the Creator, the whole universe, comes and calls you. Norma, come follow me. Matthew, come follow me. John, come follow me. Byron, come follow me. God has chosen you. Oh, what's the chance of that? I mean, That's better than winning a lotto, right? $60 million, better than winning $60 million. You being chosen by the living God, the creator of the whole universe, has called you by your name. Amen? Come on. You know, that's, give me a break. That's out of this world. Hey? The benefits are out of this world. Amen? Hallelujah. But, in the meantime, I tell you, God has great things and awesome things for us to do here. Amen? And so, He doesn't leave you penniless. He doesn't leave you with no giftings. You know, He doesn't. He comes in, you get Jesus inside, but now He wants to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the mighty Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which is a part of the Godhead. Amen? The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is God. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you are rejecting God Almighty. That's what you're doing. I want Jesus, but I don't want the Holy Ghost. Comes with the package. Amen? Comes. Hallelujah. You want power to live this life? Do you? Hallelujah. You need it. We need power to live this Christian life. You know, the devil's out there. He's pounding on us. He's telling us all kinds of lies, and we're believing some of them. He's telling us to go back to the world system, go back and be accepted back there, go back and be a part of that demise. I mean, last night we had supper in a lounge, and you know, just as we are getting ready to leave a little bit later. You know, I can remember those days, you know, sitting in the lounge, sitting in a bar, you know, and starting to get lit up. Wow. Hey, and then this morning, you just feel like it's lower than a snake. You just feel like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Oh my gosh, you're puking up these big green things that you've been smoking. Yeah, it's smoking. I used to chain smoke, just smoke like this. I'd have 2-3 cigarettes on the go. You know, you'd forget about them, you'd drink, I'd light up another cigarette, holy smokes, let's smoke. And just going, and then you're coughing this garbage up in the morning. What a night, what a party, whoa! No, your body is aching, you feel like a turd. And man, and we'd go back the next weekend. I'll never do that again. Never! I ain't doing that again. No, this ain't good for me. Wednesday, I start to feel a little bit better. Oh, yeah. That's not too bad. Thursday, maybe one beer. Maybe I'll just go down. Well, Friday, yeah, I'm just going to go down for one. Right? Just go down for one. Pew, gone again. Right? Nothing to look forward to. Dead. You know, and so last night, just seeing these guys just starting to get lit up, and I said, oh man, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Amen. Set us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man alive, there's nothing back there. Nothing back there. I was going to say it was just going to be a real calm service, but and this guy started sharing, and oh man, so but I tell you, a surrendered life. You want victory? How many want victory? We all do. Amen. We all want victory. Are we looking for victory? Amen. Come to the right place this morning. It's Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. We're celebrating His birth. Not necessarily that it's, He was born on the 25th. It doesn't matter. He was born. Amen? And He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. We recognize what He's done for us. Some of you folks, you know, still languishing in your sin. Amen? Not realizing that Jesus came to die for your sins, for my sins. Amen? I tell you, And just like my sister over here, you know, there's days I feel like, God, you can use me? Are you kidding me? I know me. I know this guy. Right? Oh, man. And yet God uses us in spite of what we look like, the imperfections that we see in ourselves. God uses us, you know. He brings you to a place of complete surrender where you just say, God, I've tried everything. I've tried everything. Honestly, I have. I've tried all that baggage and all that garbage out there. It leaves you empty. It leaves you just like, come on, is this it? This is it? This is what everybody's dying for? Doing the drugs, doing the alcohol, doing all this stuff, relationships. This is it? And then in the morning, you're empty. You feel empty, absolute empty. You just feel like a lower than a snake, amen? But when you have Christ inside of you, I tell you, he gives you meaning. He gives you purpose. I wake up now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I got something to live for instead of that bottle. Amen. Or drugs, whatever it is, or a relationship, you know. It's just, man, God has so much for us. So, so much. But we stop him. We stop him. We stop him by not surrendering. We want to live for me. I want to live for Alvin. And this is what I did too. I lived for years. I was a Christian, born again, spirit-filled man. Living for self. Still, come to church Sunday mornings. Come to church like this. As soon as the service was over, I was out the door. You know, living for me. I wasn't experiencing the things of God. You know, small things. But God has so much for us. Amen? So much more. But we limit him. We're content with the crumbs of life. The crumbs off the master's table. God says, here's a spread for you, Alvin. Steak, potatoes, mashed potatoes, the whole nine yards here. But I'm content just for the little crumbs of life. And that's what we do with our lives. We're content with the crumbs of life. Are you? Come on. There's so much more. God has so much more for all of us. But we're content with the little crumb. This is it. A surrendered life will give you this. All you can eat. All you can eat. Surrendered life. The highway. You know what the highway is? The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. When we put ourselves there too, say, not me, not I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. Amen? Then this spread becomes yours. Okay? But you choose. We got this thing called free will. And you can choose to, you know, yeah, God, I'll put you off for another year or another month, another day. Next week I'll start. Right? Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Amen. 94 years old, was able to lead. Was it your mother or another lady? Lady. Yeah. Lord used me to lead her to that. 94 years old. Oh, talk about the grace and mercy of God. I was able to lead my dad to the Lord 3 days before he passed away. 3 days. He was on his deathbed. Man, am I ever grateful and thankful that I was obedient to the living God. Ho, ho, ho. You know. Yes. Amen. Good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's powerful testimonies here of that, of what God will do. He'll keep us going. Amen. And my mother as well. Both my parents are in heaven. God showed me that. You know, and, you know, I cried out for them. I tell you, I prayed for my mom and dad. You know, I mean, you know, when you have this revelation knowledge of who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what's waiting on the other side. Man, you're on your knees. You're praying for your loved ones. Amen. Praying for our relatives, my grandkids, and so forth. Amen. And we're standing in the gap, you know. The devil's plans is to kill them, to destroy their lives. That's his plan. Amen. Bring that about. God, the devil has a plan for Potter's Hands. He's got a plan for your life. Okay? But it's good to know that Jesus Christ also has a plan for your life. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And we can walk in divine protection. The enemy can throw all kinds of stuff at us. And we can, with the shield of faith, ward those things off. Hallelujah. Amen? And we have people praying for us, interceding for us. Amen? Gathering together. I tell you, he not only wants to save you, but he wants to save a people through you, a whole nation. You know, this city, there's 85,000 souls in this city that are perishing. They're perishing and they're going into an eternal hell. We have the truth. We have the means. We have the mandate, hallelujah, to go into all nations, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's up to us. It's up to Potter's Hands. We can't talk about Crossroads. We can't talk about Living Stones or the Word of Life. We're talking about Potter's Hands here. God has a plan for each of us. So this coming January, first week in January, we're going to be praying here for a couple hours each night, Monday to Friday. I want you guys to come and make a great effort to come. Don't listen to this. Don't listen to your flesh. Come. We want to build unity. God is going to take us through to 2016. He is, okay? But we've got to pray. We got to pray. If we just depend on this, forget it. It ain't going to help. It's the Spirit of living God. So we need to come and pray. So I encourage all of us. I know you got things going. I know you got Bible studies. But for one night, come and pray. Come and pray. For Lift Up Red Deer, we have one service once a month. Once a month. Come. Let's pray. You know. Let's pray. Let's get the heartbeat of God. Let's get that. You know, there's people perishing all around. We can sit back and do nothing. And we can bury our talents. We can bury what God has given to us and keep that. But I tell you, there's souls out there that are waiting. They're crying, crying out for God. And we're the answer. Amen? You're the answer. I'm the answer. So let's come together. Let's pray. Seek His face. Say, God, I can't do this. I'm so afraid to testify about You, Lord God. I'm so fearful about this. Oh, God, I don't know what to say. Da, da, da. You can go on with all those excuses, but come, let's pray. Amen? Let's pray that the Spirit of God would just come down upon Potter's Hands, come down upon the city of Red Deer. Hallelujah. And cause a mighty explosion in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. And we'll see the devil put the flight out of this city. Amen? We'll kick his backside out of here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? But we got to have unity. Unity. Like this, my brothers. Like this. You know? If you have things against a brother, if you have things against a sister, deal with those things. Life is too short. Life is too short. Man alive. I was just 25 2 weeks ago. And here I am in the 60s. Time has gone so by so fast. You feel you got lots of life left in you. Man alive. It goes by so fast. Just like this past year, this Christmas. You know, last year I says, man, Christmas will be here again in 2 weeks. Sure enough. This whole year is just poof. Here we are. See? Time is speeding up. Whether you guys know it or not, or we want to believe it. It's speeding up. It's speeding up for me, you know. So, I tell you. But let's gather together for prayer, encouragement. Don't let the devil lie to you. This little old lady called Pat Hamill came to here last couple years ago and shared her testimony. It took her almost a year to get up the courage to do this, to walk this, walk it out. Finally, she got up enough courage, okay, God, you know, and she came. And this was the first place that she spoke at. And she gave her testimony, gave a vision of what Jesus has done. That wanted her to do. Jesus told her, Jesus, Christ, King of Kings, spoke to her. And the one place, he says, asked her, he says, how do you know it was Jesus? You know, come on. You know, here's the commander in chief of the whole universe calling for prayer in Red Deer because he wants to make the city of Red Deer a beacon between Calgary and Edmonton. So he calls this Bible study, or this prayer time, and so we question, well, you know, and the pastors question, well, God didn't tell me to call it, so I ain't doing it, you know, that's not mine, you know. Come on, guys. What's the chance of that? You know, speaking to an 80-year-old woman and telling her to go to each church in the city of Red Deer and to ask them to gather together, the pastors, to come and pray, you know. Would the devil initiate that? Hey, would the flesh? Flesh might. Well, what would she have to gain? I mean, she didn't want to do it in the beginning. Right? So here's the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, asking his body in the city of Red Deer to come and pray once a month. Once a month. Now we have a place over here. It's at Festival Hall right beside the Memorial Center. Our first one will be on January 28th, I believe it is. It's on a Thursday night. Come. Come and pray. Come. You got nothing to lose but your self-life. Amen? And the self-life is the greatest enemy. The greatest enemy. Satan has been defeated, our sister said. He's defeated. He's a defeated foe, but it's our flesh life. Amen? Our self-love that wants to carry on. It wants to keep us back, and it wants us to continue to eat the crumbs of life. Amen? So when you surrender your life, that's what you're doing. You're surrendering your life. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. You surrender that to Him because He purchased you. Think of this. Here you are on the stage here, okay? You just got a little loincloth on, and you're slaves. You're all chained up. You all got chains. You're all chained together. All chained. We're all chained. There we are. Okay? Chained. The chains are sin. And here's the God of the universe. He comes. He says, I want this man. I want you. I'll bypass this guy. No. Oh, this guy. Yeah. And he calls you. Amen? Calls you by your name. What do you owe a man like that? What do you think? I'll give him 10%. Oh, man, thanks. 10%. That's almost a slap in the face. Right? God wants more. God wants more. He wants all of you. He purchased you. So you get off of there, you get the chains loosed off, and you're walking around in this freedom. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to live for me. And I've tried it. I lived 20 years of my life for me. God used me in those sporadic times, but when I had that revelation, mighty encounter with the Holy Ghost up north, I gave Him the rest of my life. Whatever life I had left in me, I was 46, 47 years old. I gave Him, I said, God, I give You the rest of my life, and You guys have this opportunity this morning to give the rest of your life to the living God of what He's done for you. He released you from the sins, the chains, and the fetters of the devil. Your destiny was an eternal hell. But Jesus says, no, come with me. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, this is what He wants from you. Just doesn't want you just to attend church. That's as good as that is, you know. Come, but He wants your whole life. Not just a portion. He wants your whole life. Then This big table here is all yours. You can have it. It's all yours. Wow. But if you're content with just the crumbs of life, then you'll stay in that place. But 2016 is coming. And pretty soon 2016 will be gone. It'll be 2017. Just like that. In 2 weeks, we'll have 2016 Christmas. It'll go by that fast, my brothers. Time is not waiting for anybody. Amen. I know it's a little bit harsher message this morning, but you know, just the way the Spirit of God is just guiding, you know, it's time. It's time. God has to have something to work with. This is what happened in my life when I gave Him. You know, you can give Him 10% of your life, and that's what He'll work with. He's a loving God. He'll work with 10%. But if you give Him 100%, think of it. He'll take you places that you never even thought of. But it has to begin. You have to initiate the process. It's not just good enough. Oh, yeah, okay, that's good. You know, I'll just continue to read the Word. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Praying. But God wants you to initiate the process. Jesus Christ, you know, He could see in a couple hours, you know, maybe 24 hours, He was going to the cross. And, you know, and Peter said, no, you ain't going there. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going. So Jesus had a determination in His mind, and I'm going to the cross. Why? The benefits. The benefits. Look at them. The benefits. Lost humanity. Amen? So He pressed in when He saw that cross coming instead of just, oh my God, no. No. He said he determined in his mind, I'm going. Nothing's going to hold me back. Nothing. Hallelujah. What's holding you back from going to the cross? What's holding you back? Amen? God wants you to die. He wants you to die to self so that you can experience the benefits right here. All this. Amen? I would not be standing here right now, had I not initiated back 15, 20 years ago. I would not be standing here. I'd still be in the church, sitting back, waiting for that big flash of lightning across the sky to illuminate. God wants your life. Doesn't want 10%. Doesn't want 50%. Some of you think you've given it all. Yes, you know, that's between you and God. But I tell you, you want to experience God, come and pray with us. Come and pray tonight. Come. Come and join us for Potter's Hands, for this ministry. If you feel that it's a viable ministry that is impacting hearts in the city of Red Deer, come and pray. If you can't, if you physically you can't come, pray at home. Amen? Pray. Intercede. Hallelujah. Potter's Hands, I just believe 2016, we're going to see a lot of changes. A lot of things happen. Amen? There's a lot of sifting, a lot of refining that's going on. Hallelujah. If we stay the course, if we stay the course on the potter's wheel, we're going to experience things in 2016 and beyond that we never thought even possible. Amen? We want the ministry to impact hundreds of souls in this city. Now that we're joined up with Hope Mission, they're joined up with us, things are going to happen. Amen? There's other giftings rising up. Let's join together. Let's join together for these souls that are perishing. Amen? Let's stand together. Like in the book of Joel, if you look at that army in there, the book of Joel, they stood together. They locked their arms. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what God wants to do. You know, I know it's maybe kind of like a dull message, but you know, it's required. But you know, Christmas is just an awesome time of year. We're heading out to the coast on Wednesday. We're flying out, going to be with my in-laws and so forth. Pray for us that we'll impact their lives. Amen? Situation with our grandchildren are still, might have to do something else there. We're not able to see them and so forth. But we want to see them. Want to be a part of their lives. Had another grandson that we hadn't seen for years, 15 years old, on his birthday last Saturday, invited us out to a movie, you know. So that things are starting to come. So here's this little man, you know, never got a chance to see him grow up, 15 years old. Hallelujah. But, you know, there's things that you guys are going through. Teresa's going through. Sonny's, you know, experienced some health problems. Various other things. There's things that are in your life, too, that God wants to deal with. Amen. He wants to show forth His power and His glory. So this morning, what I thought would be nice would be Christmas. We're not having a Christmas service. I thought it would be nice if we made a big circle and we had some prayers. Just want to make you guys realize, establish, that we're a part of a family that is so massive, so powerful, you know. And if it's just in the physical this morning, that will suffice me, okay? But God wants to take us deeper, amen? He wants to take us deeper. He wants our hearts to be built like this. That's why this guy here, he's preaching my message this morning, you know? You know, and various, the whole service. So let's do that. Can we just make a big circle? And we'll stand together. And we're going to sing that song. Well, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. How many know it? he got two. Oh, man. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Stretch down this way. Just stretch down. Hallelujah. Oh, Brenda's going to sing it. Awesome, Brenda. Thanks. So, praise God. Hallelujah. Just think about this. Just think about this. 100 years from now, we'll all be in heaven, Lord willing. Hey? Lord willing. 100 years. And you know how time is going by so fast. We'll be standing before the one who has called us by name. Think about it. Think about it. Beholding the glory of the living God. What a day that will be when I will see Jesus. Wow. And just think about it. It just boggles my brains to try and imagine that Jesus had no beginning. God had no beginning. And He has no end. Try and wrap this thing around that. It's impossible. This God has been alive for forever and ever and ever. Had no beginning. Amen. So, boggles my mind. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Brenda.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Whoa.
I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined hands with Jesus. We travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I'm so glad
I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask Kelly to say a prayer. Hallelujah. My brother here, for you to say a prayer. And I'll end. Go ahead, Kelly. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yep. Yes. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Let it shine, little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Gonna let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Let it shine. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, brother here is just going to pray.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless your name, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name, Lord Jesus. We worship You together as one today. We exalt You, for You only are God, and there is none like You. You have the power, both in heaven and on earth, for there is no name that is like Your name.
Amen.
And there is no power that can contend with Yours.
Yes.
For You are God, against whom there is no rising. You are King of all kings.
Yes.
And against You there is no rising. Today we stand as one body, representing the body of Christ.
Yes.
As small as we are.
Thank
for
you.
It is written, fear not, O little flock. It is Your Father's good will to give You the kingdom. We praise You, Jesus.
Yes.
With one voice, signifying and prophetically signifying that which is to come.
Yes.
That in the body, on that day in heaven, at that time, all tongues, all kindred, all people from all places,
yeah,
will together lift up one voice to praise the one,
yes,
God and Father of our,
yes,
Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Today we signify that in worship, standing,
yes,
as one army, arm locked,
yes,
in arm, marching,
yes,
against the kingdom of hell.
Yes.
We exalt You, our God and our Father.
Yes.
We recognize and we honor You in this place today,
yes,
that there is no color, no kindred, no tongue that will not be represented in that day.
Yes,
honoring the God of heaven. Lord Jesus, even as we do that today in the physical, we pray you make it a reality in every heart. Amen. In every soul that is standing here and in every family that is being represented here today, in the name of Jesus, we ask that this truth that we are one body, one soul, one spirit, for there is only one God and our Father, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray that this will be a reality in every of our lives today, that as you have promised us all through the scriptures, especially in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, you say, I will be your God and you will be my people.
Yes.
You said, I will give you a new heart and I will create in you a new spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, King of heaven, we ask you today in the name of the one true God and Father, that you will create in us a new heart, that you will purge out of us everything that causes division, that causes suspicion, that causes all forms of animosity.
Yes.
Jesus, we ask you today, you will purge it it out of us, that we will be one church indeed, that we will be one people indeed, that we will be wholly consecrated unto you, that as it was on that day of Pentecost, when there were people, thousands and thousands of people from every nation, even the Arabs were represented that day. Jesus, we want to see the church admit, accept, welcome, a hug from all nations, including the Syrians.
Yes, Lord.
Who
yes,
are coming Lord. As refugees into Canada this day.
Thank you, Lord.
That they will be welcome into the body of Christ. Yes. That the church will see.
Yes.
That there is a...
Hallelujah.
These are people crying for hope.
Yes.
They are crying to be delivered from Islam. To be delivered from the power of religion.
Yeah.
That we will see them as people that need help. Spiritually, first of all. More than the food. More than the clothing. More than the housing. That they need spiritual help. That our eyes will be open to see this. And we will welcome them into the body of Christ.
Thank you,
in
Lord.
The name of Jesus.
In
we
the name
thank
of Jesus.
You, Father. Use us, Lord.
Yes.
Fill us, Lord. Use us, Lord. We want to be used. Pour your spirit upon us. Make us one, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Make us one.
Make us one, Lord.
Make us one.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that the Lord's face will shine upon every one of us here in this coming days, this week ahead of us. I pray protection over each of us. I pray, Lord God, that as we travel the roads, Lord God, the enemy would seek, but Lord God, because of your blood, because of your grace and mercy, and because of your warring angels being released on assignment for each and every one of us, Lord God, we're going to have that. Hallelujah. We thank you for that right now, Lord God. Pray a blessing, and Lord God, that this time of year will just be such a special time for each of us as we spend time with family, Lord God. We're not going to take it for granted, Lord God. We are not going to take it for granted. God, we just want to say that we love you, Jesus. And we just want to say thank you for the air that we breathe and these bodies you've allowed us to live in at this very time and place. Go with us and walk with us. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you all.